Blog Talk Radio.
You can worship with me this morning.
We give you praise and thanksgiving for every blessing, for every blessing. Lord, we thank you, and we welcome you this morning at Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, just in a worship way this morning, giving glory and honor to God and thanks to God for his goodness and his mercy, for every mountain that he has brought us over and every blessing that he has given to us. And for this, we give him praise. We give him thanks. We honor him and we worship him. And so I am so glad that you've joined me this morning on Words from the Word. We are looking with such a anticipation at the sevenfold Spirit of God. We're getting into the meat of this thing now. We're getting into some revelation and some mysteries and the secret treasures that the Lord is desiring to reveal to us on a new dimension like we've never known before. There'd been the word that was released in Labors for Christ maybe 2 years ago, the Lord saying, just as he told Joshua in the book of Joshua, when he was getting ready to go into a new place, into a new land, into the promise that God had for them. And the Lord knew that what was ahead of Joshua, he had never seen before. He had never experienced before. And the only way he would be able to journey successfully and to enjoy the abundance and the fullness of what God had for him was for him to keep his eye on the priest and the ark. And we see in today's lesson that there were two standing on the side of the lampstand, and that's what we're looking at, the lampstand. And the author shares with us that those two were the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so even then, even now, and even tomorrow, because God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, we are to keep our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our model, our standard and our plumb line, and we are to be able to do this through the flowing of the Holy Spirit that we are embracing. We are learning of his ministry and we're embracing it. We're learning of his ministry and we are enjoying it because it becomes the flow of the source of all that we need from heaven to fulfill our destiny on earth, the very thing we were created for, created to do. And it comes through this revealed dimension of the Holy Spirit's character, personality, and his power. And we're journeying to a deeper understanding of these dimensions. There are so many symbols and signs and road maps that God has presented for us in his word. All have powerful meaning, and they're symbolic and they're prophetic. They are allowing us to understand the way heaven functions, the hierarchy and the structure of heaven, and the things that God honors and the things that we must recognize in order to honor God in that intimate way of in the Holy of Holies, because we have access to it now through the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. The blood has paved the path for us to ascend straight to the throne of God, and we're bidden to come with joy and to come with boldness, because God is aware that we cannot overcome in this world unless we are in very close, intimate relationship with Him, understanding our hope, understanding the reason of our calling and the nature of it, and to understand the joy of it, because it has to be joy in order for us to have the strength to go forth, because that's what the Word of God says. And so as we are examining these revealed dimensions of the Holy Spirit, the author brings us to this place where I have to find my glasses so I can read it. To this place of, come forward. Okay. Illustrating to a place where he is illustrating through his work, through symbols. And through, symbols. Okay. We'll get there. There we go. That he illustrates to us through symbols. Just as in the New Testament, Christ uses parables. In the Old Testament, God uses symbols. He uses a lot of illustrations based on the things that are familiar with us, that we understand the function of it on the natural, so that we can begin to understand their function on the spiritual. And so the author starts this section of our study with the lampstand. And it is such a wonderful, wonderful study, and I encourage you to embark upon it. Is the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a very powerful illustration of the presence of God in the earth realm, and it is appropriate for the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and as well as that which is ahead. And so because we don't know this path, and this year has certainly unfolded in a way that was totally new to all generations. Generations before and today had never seen the things that have come upon us as they have this year. And there have always been plagues. There have always been many catastrophic events that has happened to mankind, that has shaped even mankind. And as they're shaped from one dispensation, if you will, to another, it is a new thing and a new way. And things change. All things change. We are reminded of the fact that the tabernacle, which is a Jewish landmark, if you will. It was the Jewish dwelling place on earth for the Lord God of glory. And God had instructed them very, very carefully in many, many details of the way this tabernacle was to be built, and everything in it. And just that one thing allows us to understand that Moses and no one else in those days had any clue of this kind of edifice. And so because of it, they didn't know where they were going. They'd never been that way before. They had to pay close attention to all of the instructions and the details of God. And then even knowing that and knowing they had to pay careful detail to it, they actually were still unable to of doing it, unable to accomplishing the tabernacle without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Even then, his work in the life of the those chosen by God to produce what God would have them do is made evident to us. It was impossible for them to do it. So often in that preparation, you hear and you see, and it's written that they received a special anointing in order to fulfill their tasks, very, very specific tasks that they were given, and it was instructions with details that was just tremendous. And one of the items and one of the things that they had to build to prepare was the lampstand. Was the lampstand in the holy place, and it had a very, very powerful meaning, and it has that meaning has been unfolding even now, and is even yet unfolding the power of this lampstand. And so it is good for us to understand these things so that as they're being revealed to us, we can understand their place of origin and their place of importance in the plan, in the will of God. You know, we're a microwave people. You know, we want to see something quick and easy, and let's get it, let's do it, and let's get it done. And yet we see very clearly that this was a tedious, even though it was with joy, but very miraculously detailed. Just this one to share with us in this seventh spirit as seen in the lampstand. And so it says, because of this tradition, God, this Jewish tradition, God was revealing to his chosen people, not because of Jewish tradition, but because of what God was revealing to his people in the preparation of the tabernacle, which they were to erect for the presence of God to be among them as they journeyed to their freedom. God had intended that there always be a lampstand in the holy place to bring illumination. One of the things that's very, very interesting about this lampstand and lampstands, and sometimes we're not aware of that because we didn't really have exposure to that kind of illumination as our only source of light. But one of the things with the lampstand was it had to be maintained. It had to be maintained because the will of God was that that stand, that light, never went out. And when I first started reading that, I thought, well, you know, with the tabernacle, they put it up, and then when God told them they had to break it down, all of the pieces, wrapping them, preparing them, and move them to the next place, because remember, they were traveling with this for 40 years. And so they would put it up, they would take it down, they would put it up, they could take it down, and then God is requiring that this light always be lit. It was to never go out in their whole journey, allowing us to understand the importance of illumination, the importance of the light in and the lamp in our walk and journey into our promised land. This is a lamp, were oil lamps. You know, they were not candles. And so they had to be constantly maintained. One of the things about lamps that have wicks and things like that, first of all, the source of the fuel for the lamp light has to always be at a certain level, which means that daily, night and day, this had to be tended to by the priests that stood before the Lord, and they were in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place, in the tabernacle. And as they tended to this lamp, this light, never letting it go out, they had to trim the wicks. They had to cut off the burned part, the part that had already been consumed and provided what it was supposed to provide in its time so that the new could come forth bright and clear. And if they didn't do that, you would find that with the lamp with wicks, then smoke would start coming out of the light, smoke that would burn their eyes because they were in a small place and cause them to not be able to see. That lamp was so that they could see as they walked in the presence of the Lord in the ministry that they had. And they had to maintain, these priests had shifts where they were assigned to go in, and days they were there to spend to keep the showbread table, which was representative of the presence of the Lord, and the altar of incense. And there was a constant maintenance that had to go on. There was always something for the high priest to do as it related to ministering before the Lord, just as it is now. And so, as I say, it's a very interesting read on that history of the tabernacle, how it was built, and how it was maintained. I encourage you to read or during this Advent season, which today, well, not today, but Sunday, starts the Advent season. And that Advent season, amazingly, has been timed so perfectly with our chapter 6, where we are now, because that Advent included the lampstand. The Advent included this ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was the illumination so that the priest could walk and minister in the light and love of God, so they could see what they were doing. Every morning and every evening, the priest tended to the lamp. And it's interesting, too, because in that holy place, there were no place to sit. So they were always in motion before the Lord. trimming the wicks, taking away the ashes, supplying the oil to keep the lamp burning continuously. And traditionally, the lampstand symbolizes God's guidance and his revelation through his word. It also speaks of Jesus, the light of the world, which is why at this Advent, you know, we use the candles, but this Advent time is to celebrate and anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, the light of the world. Amen. Okay. So we're brought to a place where we understand that, and we need to understand that the oil for these lamps was symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's going to become very, very clear when the author starts sharing the description of this lampstand and the things that are on it, which is everything has a meaning and a purpose that is to reveal something to us. But the Holy Spirit was the source of power that illuminated that room, and he is the source of power that illuminates the church. It says the showbread was metaphorically for the word of God, our daily bread. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the word, just as the lampstand shone on the showbread. Excuse me. The lamp oil makes our faces shine. You ever been in front of a candle, a light? It's just a perfect place of illumination for your face. You know, we say in that the Lord, may the Lord shine upon you and his face shine upon you and give you peace. And that's the part of just the vision, the understanding that God wants us to know we have in his presence. This lampstand also signifies the church. And we're going to see he has a very powerful illustration of this. the lampstand is mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament and in Revelation, and it occupies an extremely important part of the vision that John saw when he received the revelation of the Lord. This is the Revelation, Exodus, and Zechariah. And these three occurrences symbolize the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God referred to in Isaiah 11 and 2. And that's what our book is based on. So he gives us the vision of Zechariah. And I'm going to read it because it's really important, and the author is going to go into detail about each thing. But as we read it, let the Holy Spirit give us an understanding of the vision he wants us to get, of the understanding and the revelation we need to have as we go forth into a place we've never been before. It says, "Now the angel who walked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep." I love that because, again, it's church. Wake up. Wake up. There is a message that is being given to us, and we need to wake up. Wake up from our sleep. But sometimes our sleep is also just we've just rested in a place, and we are used to that routine and it's not that it's a rut, but it's just a routine of commonality that we're used to and familiar with. And it's like, okay, wake up. It's like you're in a trance. This is something different. Okay, here's something coming ahead. I need you to wake up. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith, who are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then we will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For those seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." And I further answered and said to him, "What are those two olive branches that dip into the receptacle of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?" Then he answered and said to me, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." So God gave Zerubbabel this vision of the golden lampstand in the tabernacle. Since Zechariah's job to rebuild the temple in the midst of the great enemies of the Lord. They were to build it, but the Lord was showing Zerubbabel how this was going to happen. Thank you. Zerubbabel was going to lead the children of Israel, because he was the governor of Judea, in accomplishing this overwhelming work of rebuilding the temple. And the Lord wanted him to know it's not going to be your strength, nor your knowledge, nor your understanding. It's not going to be by anything you possess, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like it was that same power and anointing that brought the details of the temple into existence when the Lord gave the task to assignment to Moses and the children of Israel. And so the lampstand showed Zacharias, represented the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will see as the author goes through and gives you the details of what this lampstand looks like, it possessed all of the things that we are learning in our journey, even in the New Testament. There's the seven, we'll go into that as he goes into that. This vision for Jerusalem and significant details to the understanding of the lampstand. And they often call it candlestick. There is a form of it that is menorah that the Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah with. And so these are all things that we are coming into the season of, and we want to have an understanding of. And God wants to supply and supply our reliance on this sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit that is to be continuous. The work of rebuilding the temple was so massive that it seemed like a mountain. And so God promised that by the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the great mountains would be leveled into plain. That's been our prayer. That's been our desire. That's been our learning and our teaching as we overcome on these mountains, these seven mountains of influence, which are at its principality these seven great enemies of the kingdom of God. And just as Zechariah got this vision to empower him to take on the task and to understand that he had a finisher's anointing. He was going to finish the task because the power of the Holy Spirit would bring about the source of the strength that he needed in order to fulfill God's plan on earth. So these two olive trees dipped oil into a bowl, and the bowl, like a fountain, dipped the oil into the seven pipes. The oil flowed from the seven lamps that burned continuously in the tabernacle. It was a never-ending supply of oil. Just as we had read earlier, how Christ had a full measure given to him of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and how that anointing is on us too because we follow Jesus Christ. It is unlimited. It does not have doesn't have an ending or a beginning because it comes from the eternal God, the Holy Spirit. So the grafting of the olive tree, the number seven symbolically signifies fullness and completion. And here we see the lampstand had seven pipes tapped into a perpetual oil source, the two olive trees. And remember we said those olive trees was the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. We related to the ark and the high priest that we are to continuously keep our eyes on in order to flow in the fullness of the anointing in our life and the promises that God has for us. The pipes represented the seven paths of God through which the oil, the Holy Spirit, flows. We believe that the two olive trees, as we said, represent the Spirit and the Word, and this is a symbolic image of the body of Christ plugged into the fullness of the seven flow of the Holy Spirit, tapping into the source, releases the unlimited anointing, the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. I love it where they shared the fact that there's been two great moves in the earth. one move brought a movement, they call it, that it brought about experiencing the Word. The first movement was a prophetic explosion from a vision of John Wigglesworth, and it swept across the world. And this first movement was known as the Word Movement. It occurred during the 1970s, and then the second spiritual revival came later. However, this vision he saw sometimes much bigger, more powerful, that was no longer following revivals. So there was a revival of the Word, and then there became a revival, a movement of the Spirit, acknowledging the Word of God and its importance and its power, and then the move, a wave of understanding and revelation revealed about the Holy Spirit. These two moves, these massive, they produced massive harvests that covered the earth. And it would happen when the Word and the Spirit were married together in this anointing. He never saw the fulfillment, but we see this time of mass harvest right now, where the Spirit of God is being recognized, is being acknowledged. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is being embraced. It's being taught. It's being released through the source of heaven. The foundation of the Bible is very important, but we need to live by the living Word daily. So we have the Word, but we have to live by that Word. I love it where he says this. Bill Johnson says, faith doesn't come by what you already heard. It comes by what you are presently hearing. And that gives us the insight of that which is ahead, that is which is to come. So it's not what we heard that we're rehearsing and reliving, but it's what we are hearing now that is fueling and giving us the direction and the power to go forth. If there were ever a time that the church needs eyes to see and ears to hear, not what the Spirit said back then, or the way the Spirit did it back then, but what the Spirit is saying today, that time is now. God wants us to live daily with our spiritual eyes open and our ears open and our eyes illuminated. And remember, this illumination comes from the light of the candlestick, which is the Holy Spirit. This illumination comes from the revelation of the seven flows of the Holy Spirit. It's an illumination, a sevenfold illumination of wisdom and might and understanding and strength and the fear of the Lord. And it's interesting when you listen to these three things, and he shares it, how three are on one side of the candlestick and three are on the other side of the candlestick. And what's in the middle is the Spirit of the Lord, because that has to be where everything flows from, and for it to reach its maximum the effective anointing in the understanding and the enlightenment of the children of God and those that love him and that are seeking him. Without this oil, remember, there is no fire. There is no fire. Without is no flow. So we have oil that brings the fire and the oil that brings the flow. The flow is the going forth. Remember those rivers that are going to go forth. And then that flame is that passion. It is what ignites us as we go forth. Apart from him, the fresh oil, we can do nothing. And remember, this is a fresh oil daily, a constant flow. It's not a reservoir that's just sitting that we tap into. It is something that is in motion. It is flowing and it is moving. And the church has to move. We had got to a place where we really weren't physically moving. We were sitting in church. But now that new thing has come and we are physically moving. I think people are doing more now than they've ever did for their brothers and sisters and one another and those that are in need. We are a fluid moving body of believers. When we plug into the source, we're changed and we're transformed. We walk in purity and holiness before the Lord, because that fire burns off that which is not like him. That's why the fire must be there. The flame must purify our actions so that the illumination that comes from us is not contaminated, is not polluted, it is not diluted, but it's in its purest and most powerful form because it has been attended to by the Holy Spirit and those that have ministered before the Lord as they trim the wick and check the supply and clean away the ashes. Remember, we talked about the wells of water that were stopped up because of the things and the debris that had been thrown into them. And so the ministry of those that love the Lord are cleaning that out. They're throwing out the tradition. They're throwing out the lies of the enemy. And they're throwing out the deceit of Satan so that this flow will be pure and unhampered, and it will be constant, and it will be fresh. It will be fresh and new. There's nothing like something that is absolutely fresh. You can look at the date on certain things, and when you see it's got a good date, that's how it possibly is. She gets excited about it because, first of all, she knows it's fresh. It's at the peak of its flavor, and nothing has started to diminish it, but it is fresh. And that's the way the oil is in our life because the Holy Spirit wants us to embrace his ministry and the sevenfoldness of his flow. The more we allow the Holy Spirit, the more we embrace his work, and the more we allow him liberty in our lives, then these things will transform us from glory to glory to glory into the image of our Father. We got mirrors so that we can look. What does God see? We want to be, what do we see? Reveal to us, search us, O Lord, and reveal those things. Let me look in the mirror and see what is not like you, what displeases you, and what has come upon me that should be removed because it does not bear your image. And as we are able to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's his job. As believers, we've been engrafted in among the olive trees, and we've become partakers of the root and the fatness and the continuous flow of the rich oil. Remember, without measure, without limit, without restriction, we remain strong as we impart, partake of this oil and remain grafted and plugged into the flow because God said we can do nothing apart from our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. But my horn, you have exalted like a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil. Pastor shares out of Psalms 92:10. The anointing in this context, it means the overflow. The horn signifies strength. When we function and operate in the full expression of the sevenfold Spirit of God, we walk in fresh oil every day. When we remain plugged into Jesus the Vine, and then we will be fruitful. What a glorious, just a glorious vision of walking in the fresh oil every day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit, following our Savior in ministry on earth as he did, tapping into this unlimited supply. And one of the things is that this shares is that we need the fresh oil. We can't live on last week's supply of oil, or the seven flames will die. They need to tap into the ceaseless supply of his fresh oil from the Holy Spirit and the Word daily. It is available to us now through the pipe of the seven spirits of God. And that's the seven spirits of God. And that's those pipes, that's those rivers that will flow from us. And it's a daily. We talked about that in Search for Significance. That word has to be daily in us. This has to be a daily application and embracing and living out the word of God. And we have to have that word. We can't always reach and find and read it, but we need to have it written in our hearts because God said he would. And everything that he requires us to do, he has already given us. the power to do it and the promise that he will make sure we have that finisher anointing and we will be perfected in him. The lampstand in Zechariah's vision had a center pipe with six other pipes tapped into it. And I wish you had a picture. You could look at a picture of this lampstand, and it shares where these six represent the number of man. Remember, all the numbers, every detail has a meaning. The six pipes that flowed on the right and on the left represent the number of man. And add the center pipe, and there are seven. Christ symbolizes the center pipe because he is the mediator between God and us. And he stands in the middle and allows this flow to happen to us. Christ is the center, the divine nature, and all of the other pipes flow out of that one. All of them must flow out of the holiness, the purity, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have the fullness of the oil without tapping into the center pipe, a branch, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, connected to the vine, connected to the vine. And it kind of looks like that. And it says from the center part, the three-part pipes went outward on opposite sides. The three parts represent the three pairings of flows of the Holy Spirit that is mentioned. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And then you add to these six the Spirit of God being upon us, the presence of Christ, and there are seven. A completely victorious church. That's what that looks like. Completely victorious, overcoming church. We will take they'll look closer at the flows, each flow, as we go forth in our study. But he says, grace by his Spirit. So next, the angel explained to Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Jerusalem. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. A plain, in other words, you may be a high mountain, but when he's through, you're going to be flat. You're going to be straight out, and it is not going to loom over and trouble the people anymore. It says, in other words, not by your might, nor by your power, the Holy Spirit is going to do it. How it happens, we're going to begin to move in the function, remember the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and then grace will be released. I love that. So how do we say grace? You know, we want grace, the grace of God. We need his grace. And it says you get this grace when you start functioning in the fullness of the Holy Spirit without measure. Don't put limits on him. Don't put restrictions on him. Allow him, allow heaven to give you a grace, an unmerited favor. So in other words, you can walk on water. You can tear down a mountain. You can do required of you by the Lord to do through the power and the release of the grace of God. The hand of Jerusalem had laid the foundation of the temple. With his hand shall he also finish it. We have been promised this finishing anointing. It will get done. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And that's how the world will know. God sent these people. There is a God, and he has a people who are making a difference, tearing down mountains and making them as plain. And that benefits the world as well as the church. And so it is a twofold ministry. God is just not concerned about his children, but he's all concerned about his world and the other, his creations that don't know him, will come to know him as they see how well he is concerned with his children through the way we act. He says, don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the small beginning, because you know this, you're going to finish it. And that finishing is going to look like what God wants it to look. And it says, the seven have rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Jerusalem. And that means the Holy Spirit, he's going to rejoice because he's going to see that Christ has been established, that the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring holiness to us through what we have, we are holy through the blood of Jesus, and to bring that manifestation into the view of all the world is the rejoicing, and that is the joy of the Holy Spirit. He's rejoicing to see the plumb line in the hand of the people. In other words, when the people put their hands around Jesus and the holiness and uses him as their standard, as the cornerstone of all that they do, say, think, and feel, and act, that is a rejoicing in the Spirit of God. Great grace and fresh oil. The true meaning of Christian is translated as little anointed one. Christ means anointed one. So a Christian is a follower of Christ and his anointing. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit without measure. So if we are following him, too, are to be anointed with his same unlimited anointing. That's why he said, you don't marvel, you're going to do these things and greater things. The greater grace of the Lord is what will accomplish this movement of the seventh spirit flowing through the church. I don't know if you could just visualize how the seventh flowing spirit of the Lord moving through the church, how it transforms people that were once dark, were once sinners. I wanted to do more than just sinners, but they were just dark. They were out. They were out of hope. They were out without life. They were dead. They were dead. They had not yet come to live as they were created to live in all of their weaknesses and their stumbling and their lust and their selfishness. And then to see these people transform through the flowing of the Holy Spirit, to see the church, just the sign of love growing bigger and bigger and bigger, because he said you'll know them by their love, and you'll see that love in greater and grander ways as we allow the Holy Spirit to totally flow through us without measure. Many mountains will come down, and the grace of God will flatten these mountains. That grace, that spirit without measure, that unlimited and the power of heaven, that grace is what will flatten the mountains, and the Lord will be praised. The Lord is raising up a generation who have put pure oil dip into their hands. What are these olive branches that dip into the receptacle, into the hands of? The two anointed ones in the Hebrew translated signifies sons of fresh, pure oil. There is a generation, I remember when we started with the sexual and relational healing retreat as a ministry, and the prayer and the desire and the hope and the faith was that a generation will be born that will not need a healing sexual and relational retreat. They won't need it because the fresh oil, the pure oil, would have prepared them in a way that their plumb line and their standard in their hands would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that generation coming forth because of the daily anointing. If you think about it, the daily anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life will give them a living of the Lord, and then they will want that living life. No other one would match, because remember, you have this unlimited power, this unlimited measure of the anointing, of the smearing on of God is upon you, and that's all they see. This will impress a generation who's not impressed with words. They're not impressed with what was in the history. They don't care about the history. They are listening to the now. They're listening to the now, and then they're going forward. They have an ear to hear and eyes to see the right now. And you are, we are the right now. And if they see us in this place of unlimited flowing of the measure of heaven through our life to accomplish the things that are tearing down mountains and changing the world, oh, they will be on board, because they will be the generation that know there is a God, because that's what God promised. He said, and then they will know that I sent you, that I'm in you. And in that way, they will know the Lord God. And that's what our mission is. That's what our destiny is to reveal the Lord on earth as he is in heaven, in his fullness, in his might, in his power, but more than that, in his love. We allowing that love to shine forth over all of our human preferences, our human weaknesses, going forth in that love, that image, that unlimited anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's when we'll see the miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles like miracles we've never seen before. Miracles, and we've heard about miracles. But we will begin to see miracles the way heaven does miracles. It's like the Red Sea, that would be nothing compared to the things that the Lord will use us to bring about in the earth realm, so that the earth will look and know that he is the only true and living God. And as we walk in his fullness, we walk in the fullness of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He ministered in such a wonderful way, people such a way that they just started following, you know, and I don't think we can fully get the effect of, you know, someone that's just so powerful and so anointed and just so mesmerizing and such a perfect answer to everything that concerns you, that you drop everything you're doing and you just start walking wherever he walks, going wherever he goes, gathering wherever he goes. You don't pack, you don't wait to pack a lunch or get some clothes. You just go, because you don't want to miss a moment. And that is the kind of fire and that was built up in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And because he is the same yesterday and today and forever, then that same kind of anointing of fresh oil every day will strengthen our inner man, so we will walk out the fullness of our destiny to glorify this mighty Jesus through all the land. And when our hands are dipped in this fresh oil, when we can lay hands on people for healing, everybody can lay hands on people. Yeah, I got a headache. Come here. You lay your hand, that headache is gone. This is the miracle and the unlimited power of heaven released on earth. I didn't know I was talking for a whole hour. Yeah. We want to finish this in the name of Jesus. One of the things I love, she says, release of great grace to see every mountain of opposition torn down comes through us. And the word shares with us that Jesus grew in strength and stature and favor with God and man. And that's what happens to us. We grow in strength and stature and favor with God. And because we have favor with God, the grace of God, a supernatural empowerment of the favor of God is upon us. And then we have man's favor as well, because they cannot deny what they see. They cannot deny eyes have witnessed, because we are living out the living word of God, and it is glorious. The Lord God is glorious. He is magnificent. So when his word is lived out, it is magnificent and marvelous, not just in our eyes. It's even marvelous in his enemy eyes. One of the enemies of the Lord came and looked and said, you know, I heard a whole bunch of stuff about the Lord, but that wasn't half of what really is. He is an impressive God, because he is an almighty God. He tells us to live in this grace and favor and to rejoice with the seventh flow spirit of Holy Spirit. We are to embrace the small things, knowing they will become bigger. We don't have to operate on yesterday's anointing, but we can live in the perpetual, limitless supply of the unlimited daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can plug into the Word, the living Word, Christ, and the unlimited anointing that comes from that Word. And that brings us really to the end of that section. And so we will open the lines this morning for you to share, your revelation, your insights, your inspiration from this. The lines are open. Good morning. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. Clear, powerful. It brought so much insight, but I realized I needed to, as you, I think, began in the beginning, study more about it. You know how you, it reminded me with wonders, and you, we remember we did something, in, we did one on the tabernacle, but when you was talking about the lampstand and all the, you know, the details behind it and the significance and the meaning, it made me realize, okay, that'll be another study you need to just and ponder on and get a better understanding so you can, I think I wrote the note down, could understand what was going on in that New Testament. Because you said you were stating that through the symbols with the like parables with the illustrations through symbols with the New Testament, right? And with the Old Testament, the symbols, the things understand with nature, it was different ways that they brought it about. But it was just powerful to, and a lot of few things I didn't know that I got so much understanding, and I wrote down that when I get off the phone, I can study on it. So just thank God for what he brings out so much through this and what's going on now that we can apply to. So to God be the glory. I'm just excited.
Hello? Did we lose her? I don't know. I can't hear anybody. I hear you, though.
No, praise the Lord. I'm sorry. I had no speakers. I was blowing. I mean, on silent. Sorry. I was blowing my nose. Okay. I was just saying, you feel me. Anybody else? Any insight?
Well, I had to move over the vision because I was trying to understand what he was saying. And I was doing, and I still, in that vision, I was trying to figure out where he says, now I just saw it. Now for some reason. Oh, but for these seven. The plumb line, the hand of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so I was checking what seven? For because he says they are the eyes of the Lord, which stand to and fro throughout the whole earth. So I was trying. I kept reading. I said, "Who are the eyes?" Because I was seeing it in this vision. Is he talking about the seven?
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Say it again. You're breaking up.
When he speaks about the seven, he said, for these seven rejoice to see the plumb line. And then he says, they are the eyes of the Lord. So
yes.
Is he talking about the seven lamps with the seven pipes?
Okay, he's talking about the sevenfold spirit, the Holy Spirit, the eye of understanding, the eye of wisdom. Remember we said each one of the rivers had a flavor, if you will. You know, they have a function. So the eye of understanding, the eye of revelation, the eye of they are rejoicing because they can see themselves manifest in our life, in our hands. That means we've grabbed them. We understand them. We're honoring them, and we're sharing them with people. And so that's the eyes of the Lord. There is a lot of revelation illustration with beasts that have eyes all over them, and they even count how many eyes. This would say the ministry of numbers and visions is just incredible. And it's hard to just, you know, briefly go through it. But it is a, remember we said it was a symbol. It was it's like a parable. You know, the eyes of the Lord are upon me. Okay. And he was saying here, now it's like the eyes of Holy Spirit, if you will. The what illuminates is through the Holy Spirit, the flow of the sevenfold Spirit of God. See that. And rejoices. It rejoices because it sees itself being used. It sees itself being embraced, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if it goes everywhere, excuse me, that's because we are going everywhere. So everywhere he looks, he sees the church flowing and producing and giving light and illumination to the world. Apostle, did you have a... Okay, she says she's taking over me too. Hey, man. But I prayerfully, that kind of explained it. A lot of times we want to see it literally. You know, ooh, the eyes, how many eyes does God have? But the eyes represent something. The eyes, you know, they would say the eyes is the window of the soul, if you will. So the eyes are the window of the Holy Spirit. Seeing his ministry being used in a fresh, unlimited manner. And so he rejoices over us. I pray that was helpful. Rough around the edge.
I know it's just, you know, when you're reading. Reading the vision. You know, trying to understand what he's saying, and then oh, he was breaking it down first, but in that part just stood out, and I was saying, "What is he talking about?" And I kept reading it over. But when you were saying about the tabernacle, I remember I had got this book, but I got the chance.
Yes.
I guess I have to pick it up, so back to it. The tab.
Amen. And I know one of the things that I didn't bring out is just a blueprint of heaven, the building from a heavenly blueprint, but the fact that, you know, it shared the shaft, the branches, the bowls, the ornamental knobs and the flowers shall be of one piece. And that's the fivefold. We have to understand all of these are illustrative of something. And so it's showing how the fivefold ministry has to be one. And that ministry is produced from pure gold that has been beat and hammered to one place. That's how we become one. The making of us, for your story, our story, the becoming of one. That's the hammering work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us, you know, he teaches us, he guides us. These are the things he's doing, and it's not always pleasurable, but the end thereof is this wonderful solid gold work, this work, this fivefold ministry working as one. The shaft, the branches, the bowls, the ornamental knobs, and the flowers. And then there are six tides. That was the 6 days to create the world. And then the seventh day, and the seventh branch is Jesus Christ. And that's the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, there's just so much illustration. They talked about the four something, or the three bowls, you know, are like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. Everything there's consistently is the same thing on each one of those areas. We are to be one in Christ. We're to look like, you know, the blueprint of God according to the way He has defined us. And there was something, it was about, because it was the four of something I kind of looked for, but that's the four gospels. It represents the gospel going forth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were these flowers and these buds totaled to nine, I believe it is. And that is, and I can't find in here where it was. And that nine is, let's see, one is the gift of the Spirit, and then what came out of that nine, or maybe it was the gift of the Spirit that's put forth in one of the,
government.
Or then the seven lamps, wait a minute. No, and one was the gift of the Spirit, and the other was the fruit of the Spirit, the number of the fruit of the Spirit. And so this in this lampstand were all these things related to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of heaven on earth. That's what His anointing is. That's what He does to the church. Jesus Christ brought the power, and the Holy Spirit brought the manifestation of that power through the gifts of the and then through the fruit from those gifts. And all these things were represented in the blueprint of this lampstand. It's really a very fascinating subject, and it's so beautiful because I'm just so grateful that in this kind of ministry, and it's beautiful because I've seen these parts and these bowls and things, because Pastor will look for them in Israel, okay? And she just got a bowl, and that bowl has that stem and that bud and that this. I mean, you know, and so you can see those things and the beauty of the work, the intricateness and the details of them. And that's how our lives ain't supposed to be raggedy and haphazard and hope I get it and maybe I don't, and if I did, God will forgive me. It is to be done in this beauty of holiness that requires, not requires, but it won't satisfy us unless it's in excellence. And that's what the ministry has always tried to have put forth. We actually have this lampstand. It's not as big as the real one. I think the real one was maybe 5 or 6 or 7 feet tall. It was really, really big. But the ones you do, we do have, and I know that, you know, those that work in the Seven Wonders, you know, it is the pride of the wonder, and we can't find it. We got to tear up everything till we do find it, okay? And then when we do find it, we try to wrap it and keep it, you know, in a place where it is safe and easily, you know, gotten to, because we so need it. And when you look at the details on it, when you look at all of the things on it, they represent something. That's God communicating to us. This stuff I'm asking you to do, that's part of who the structure of my world is like. And I'm just trying to give y'all a clue, okay? So when it's ordination time and you got to, you know this number of this and what the fruit of the Spirit and the different things that and what are you called to be, you got to know. Because there's a place for you. There's a prepared a designation for you, and you got to get in that place for the body to function according to the will of God. And so this is the body that the head of which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what God is placing His Son on, okay, at the head of. And he don't want it to be raggedy and tacky and falling apart. Absolutely not. It's bearing the head of his son, you know, the Holy One. And so he's saying, and I know you guys can't do it. It's okay. I have a flow for you. And it's called the Holy Spirit is going to come and continuously give you fresh oil. You don't have to have something that you got to sew up and fix, or you know, wore so it and wore out. You know, you just said it so many times, you say it and don't even know you're saying it. No, this is fresh new oil. Every time you say it, it's going to light a fire. The fire is going to burn brighter and brighter and brighter because it's fresh oil. It's that, it's got that good use by date. Okay, it's going to be perfect in its flavoring because it's pure and has not been polluted, nor has it been weakened by a lack of a continuous new source. Anybody else?
Well, when I saw about the divine government, I was thinking, you know, when they was praying
Seven Mountains.
Yes, ma'am. It came to me that, you know, they're praying for government. I said, well, they need to be praying for God's divine government as well. You know, when I saw this, I said, well, that his government needs to be incorporated in the prayer too, man.
Absolutely, and they do. On Tuesday morning, the last mountain is the Mount of Government. And Apostle praised that and praised it in conjunction with the eighth mountain, which is the mountain of the Lord. That's why these teachings and these trainings are so powerful, because then we can see God, what God sees when he sees these mountains. And we can see what he says. He said they're going to be made, they're going to be towed out. That's it. We don't have to think they're troubling us, because we're going to tear them down. He knows who the principality on them. He got the whole deal on all of them. And as we study and read his word, we realize this. And so then we are empowered to destroy the strategy of the enemy and the enemies of God that rule these mountains. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know when I first heard about the Seven Mountain prophecy, I thought, oh, I ain't never heard that before in my life. And I hadn't. But now that I've read it, I can't see how I can function. I cannot function now without having that knowledge, because too many things are driven by that. And that even with the search for significance, those are the influences that have shaped our thinking and our lives and have corrupted us. And so now that we know the influence, we can look at the Seven Mile Prophecy and know the principality on that influence, okay? And to know, once you know who your enemy is, you expose them. And once they've been exposed, they can no longer deceive you, okay? When that exposition and some of that enlightenment has come with the unceasing, with the ceaseless, unlimited power of heaven through the Holy Spirit, it's a done deal. The mountain is down. That's it. And he says, with faith, you can move mountains. But now we understand what kind of mountains. Oftentimes we think, oh, the mountain of my, you know, the hard parts of my life. No, these are the influences on your life that made your life hard. That's what you're moving, okay? And so, I mean, there's just so much power in learning and reading the heaven strategy. You know, the situation, not the situation, but what the kingdom of heaven is about. Anybody else? This one. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I like what you said, overseer, and it hit me was like, basically, like God is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. I like how you said what hit my spirit was like, with us as believers, it's our responsibility to go out in the world, but we have to be equipped. and those seven mountains help look at every area, hallelujah, of our lives that have been affected.
Yeah.
And we can be affected when we're aware of the government, the family, and how to attack those. I like how you said those coming in now, including myself, how we don't listen. You know, we listen to what you say, but we watch what you do. And that's what has been holding a lot of people back, because you say one thing and we look and you were operating under something else, not you per se. You know, our upbringing, you know, our upbringings, just like in the Old Testament, they said one thing, but they were operating out of something else. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was operating out of what he was saying. Come on now.
And that's
what we have to do today, because the ones that we bring in now, they looking at what was back then, but we have to show them what is now.
That's right.
We live righteous, we live holy. You have to look at, you know, like, the government had a part of how of my thinking, especially if you're doing wrong.
Amen.
As a family, you know, innately, as a kid, we know that person that brought us in the world was supposed to protect us and keep us safe, but for whatever reason, they weren't. So now we have to be retrained. And I like how that in the middle of the lamps, it's the Holy Spirit in the middle, but it hits those other areas. You know, y'all have, I'm learning, like, it hits those other areas, and each time one of those candles is lit, I go to another, God takes me to another candle till I finally got in the middle, and that Holy Ghost, man, hit you. And people, as you were saying, they see that in me, whether I see it in myself. And by them seeing that in me, even though I make mistakes, today I can humbly apologize and change that. You know, and it's just so awesome. And it's our responsibility. Go out here and shut down. Like you said, once we understand what is operating, I know how to squash it through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit. Like, I can go to somebody and say, look, baby, you might not have had this, but look what you can get. Look at what he's done in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm an ex-addict. I'm an ex-this. I'm an ex-that. And guess what? Through God's grace and his Holy Ghost, he's changed all that to being an ex. So they'll sit up and watch and say, she say that. That makes sense.
Amen.
Yeah.
You preach it.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So anybody
I'm
else?
I'm trying to hold it in.
That's all right. No, this is Fellowship of Learners. We all talking.
Good morning, Lovers.
Good morning. Good morning.
I just wanted to share. There is a book for those who might be so inclined. That is, to me, you know, as a kid said, in my humble opinion, IHO, took me about 3 weeks to figure out what the letter stood for. But I'm getting it. It's called Number in Scripture by E.W. Bullinger. And I'm telling you, the first 25 pages will just completely blow your mind. But as you're talking about the lampstand, I kind of was thumbing through to see if he had anything on the lampstand, and I'll just say just in this one sentence where he just talks about how if you look at where there's seven quotes from Psalms in the New Testament, and they say they line up exactly like the lampstand, that three are on one side, three come from Acts, two are from Romans, and one is from Hebrew, meaning, you know, where you got three from Acts, three from the epistles, and the one in the middle is the gospel, which they do from Matthew. But not only that, because I don't want to get into that because I haven't read that deep into that part, but what I wanted to say is that when the evangelist just spoke and was talking about when people are looking for some kind of verification, in this book, he talks about numbers, you know, like all of the numbers in Scripture. And even if you never even got to what the Bible says, you know, when you look at nature, when you look at science,
mm-hmm.
there are seven classifications of science. I mean, that's just how science rolls out. There are the seven musical notes in the scale. There are seven primary numbers. There are seven primary colors that all colors are, you know, pulled from. There are so many different things that, you know, I mean, it talks about stuff like all of the gestation time for animals are all some kind of derivative of seven. That, you know, a mouse is 21 days, a rabbit is 28 days, a cat is 56 days, a dog is 63 days. I mean, I'm just saying all derivatives of seven as far, and even in man, it is amazing. And the one thing that really just kind of blew my mind, he was saying that when, this is his premise, he's saying that when man looks at scripture, the reason why we can get so caught up on things don't line up, how people want to say, look, well, I studied every word in the Bible and I lined up this prophecy to this, and none of those numbers line up with what the scripture is saying. And he makes a point, number one, that if it is in numerical order, not only is it a design, but there's a significance. And then number two, that God doesn't count chronologically, he counts in duration. So he goes back and he looks at all the prophecies, and I'm just saying this, I mean, I'm pulling these numbers out of my neck, but, you know, kind of like, he'll say, like, if it's 490 years and you count it, and it doesn't seem like it's 490 years. So he says, but if he says captivity, he's out counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's counting how many years in captivity. He said, you go back and you see how many years in captivity. It is a derivative of 7. You know, it's 490. Yep. If you look to see how many years before the temple, after the temple, that it is a derivative of 7 if you take away the time when the people were in disobedience. You know, so when, you know, when he says this will stand for this amount of time, he says when you look at it like that, everything just lines up perfectly. You know, it's a pretty amazing read. Excuse me, pretty amazing read, and it just goes through everything. I'm certainly not doing him any kind of justice whatsoever, but I would say that, you know, if numerology in the scripture, and I'm not talking about for any secular. Excites you, then this book would, you know, just really, you know, really take you there. It's something as simple as I would have never thought of this. He was saying that there's something as simple as an ear of corn, that no matter where you go, every row is going to be an even number. No matter how many rows it is, it's going to always be even. Who can do that but a guy? You know, he was,
absolutely,
you know, that is an incredible, you know, I mean, and it's just so many things. And, you know, and they show the how they determine this and, you know, like you were talking about the leaves, you know, that there's just a pattern. Plants that grow inside have a pattern of three. Plants go outside have a pattern of five. You know, I mean, things that are just consistent everywhere.
Absolutely.
Where you can't. You know, who else but God? There's no way that something so ordered and perfected could come out of a chaotic Big Bang, let alone what's banging.
Right.
Just the whole idea that, you know, you could get such an ordered and measured and exact, you know, lineage through all time. And just think that this just happened randomly. Randomly how? You know, it's just and there is a significance for it. You know, for nothing else to show us the handiwork of God, you know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and looking at the sevenfold, you know, seven being, you know, that spiritual perfection, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of awesome with the Holy Spirit, because that is who we have, you know, living in us.
That's God.
You know,
he is God.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Which
often,
is just, and,
yeah, we
and everybody's been talking about the,
God.
12, the seven mountains. But, you know, all of that, you know, just this governmental order in 12, this divine perfection in 3. You know, it's just an awesome.
Yes.
Awesome
and one
thing,
thing
you know,
and one thing I think you'll find, and I know that is phenomenal study. Phenomenal. I encourage people, though, to start with the tabernacle, because I think you will see even the number of posts that go around, the tops of the posts, the nails, the cloth, the length of the cloth, they're all the details of the, I believe, start the new, the number revelation to mankind. God's numbering system, if you will, or his ministry of numbers, it starts with that and is revealed in that. And even what it's made out of, the color it is. And so the tabernacle gives you such an insight into, I would say, the mind of God and how he orders things. And also it proves that everything came from him. Because no matter what you see around you, you can see as you share, it started with him. When he created and he maintains it, and so it's just, it really, when you get into it, you can get lost in the grandeur of things and chase it because it's like, really? What? Really? What? Which is why they say science is evidence of the presence of God.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, then.
The presence.
It is.
Yes, ma'am. Evangelist, I hear you. Yes. I'm going to speak it. Well, we could probably talk for another 2 hours. You know, don't y'all be calling me wanting to talk on the phone 2 hours. I got work to do today. No, I'm just kidding. But what I realize is, you know, we let this come upon us, and it's just so perfect. Because it's the Advent season is starting on Sunday, November 29th, and it focused in a lot of different religious venues around the lampstand, the menorah, and the history of it, and the miracles behind it. And so those are all things that gets us charged up in our preparation for the coming of acknowledging and commemorating the coming of Jesus Christ, and he's gonna come again. So it's like a double blessing because he did once, and it was prophesied, and you see the fulfillment of that. You can put your money on the fact he's coming again, because that was prophesied as well. And so just all of the awareness of the power of the heavenly. Oh, what I want to say, kingdom in the people of God has to transform it, because you'll walk around with the light of illumination making your face shine. Okay, you know, what you glowing for? You used to say you glowing because you're pregnant, but that ain't the case. But you glowing because of the word of God is illuminating your soul, and you're free from all the pollution, and so we can see each other as we were intended to be. In the presence of the Lord. So, anybody else? We could talk to the thing, go off if you like.
I would just like to say, I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. But overseas specifically, you know, I know you'd be thinking that I'm giving you a hard time, but I really do appreciate your study and your due diligence, because I understand. And I'm sure everybody else on the line that, you know, you don't just, I don't mean you specifically, but I do mean you specifically. You don't just roll out of the bed having history, Old Testament history. No, you know what I mean? It ain't just something you just acquire willy-nilly. You really have to get into the Word of God. So I appreciate the time that you spend in the Word and you share with us, because it certainly makes me better, and I think I'm speaking for the people on the line. You know, they can speak for themselves, but I know that it makes me better, and it forces me. I'm like, what was that? It just makes me, it seems like every week there's one little thing. I'm like, what's that knowledge that I'm refuting? It's like, I never heard it, or I never, you know, or whatever, you know. And so I think the Lord just gives us what we need to keep in the mix.
Jesus.
So God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Encouragement is always a blessing. However, the truth be told,
He does it, and he does it all. And this session, this words from the word was birthed from the seven wonders. And in the beginning, when the I think the writings and things, people started said, "Do you have that? Do you have that? Do you have it?" And I have it. I can email you anything. And some said, "Well, we just you talk about it." And so, apostle, this is what apostolic leadership does. They know what God has for you, and it's their job to make sure the environment is there for you to be, planted in the house of the Lord, flourish in the courts. And so, through the wonder and the minister of the Holy Spirit gave us how many years ago the foundation of these things for such a time as this and for this program. I think we say in 5 years or something, I'm losing track. But that's what it was birthed out of. And so it became apparently God's platform to share what was done then so we could get an understanding of why he introduced it to us then, because he knew what now was going to be. It just amazes me. And I'm more amazed than you are when it comes out. It's like, oh, where did it come from? Oh, I remember that. You know, and so it's not it's so effortless when we just.
Did you say 5 years? Closer to 10 years, Chris.
No, I mean for word from the word. You know, I know it ain't no 10 years.
Right.
You know.
Longer than 5 years.
Let me see. I think it, you know, maybe.
I mean, think about 5 years ago, I was in
maybe
the hospital.
Maybe it was seven.
We had been doing that years before I had that episode.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
That was 2016.
Okay, time flies when you're having fun. maybe it is just 7 years, and maybe it's just,
seven or eight years at least.
Good Lord Jesus. And I will say, because of you guys, we never missed one. Because even when I couldn't, y'all did. You know, so it was like God intends for this to be a Friday fellowship for learners. So, okay. And it is awesome. This is that cell group learning Bible study. This is church. Okay, this is our church. And I mean, it is a place where we gather to learn from each other. And from those that write and pen the heart of God, and he brings them to us, really supernaturally, every book we've ever read after the wonder, after all of the wonders had been presented, then he started going through the books and started bringing books our way. And so it really is just a joy journey. It really is. And somebody needs to write it down so we know how long it's been. Okay. Yes, it may have been.
Elder Roberta don't know how many years. Elder, you on the line?
How many years?
I'm on the line.
You're on the line. And Minister Pat?
Yes. Sure. You know, let me see.
I'm thinking at least 8 years, at least.
How old is Timothy?
10 years old.
He's 10. So,
yeah, Timothy.
He was. It's been about. It could be that long because Tim was a baby.
It's been a minute.
Tim was a baby.
Okay.
I'm gonna pull up my tabernacle and all their mother wonders. So it's been a long time.
You say it's been a long time.
Yeah, you're right. I told one other. Oh, go ahead.
You know who's gonna know.
You had to. Tim was a baby, and at the retreat, he was doing a blog talk.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, you know who's gonna find out? The apostle, because you know what? This was paid for. Okay. So she don't go back and get another bill. And you know what? Believe it or not,
all of the sessions are archived, and you can get them. So actually, I guess we could really go back and see when the first one was. Absolutely. I didn't even think of that about.
And
but it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing, and all those who've come on board have been faithful and been powerful learners with us and teaching us. You know, every word that you give shares and builds. It's not an idle word. It's going to perform something, and you should know when you release it, it's a seed that's going to grow, and it's going to bear fruit. Because it's from the heart of God. It really is. Glorious
fruit.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, I told someone with the virtual, I went to more classes and workshops than I ever did with words.
You're right.
Go back and even see it again or hear it again.
That's true. And that's one thing I think was true for everybody that ever worked in the Wonder. This retreat or this gathering, okay, we got to do something, you know, to do some classes. I told somebody, I had never been in them kind of, I never got to a worship service. We were always at the Wonder. And if I went to a class, because Pastor made me teach, and I never taught. I think once I taught a class, and then once I co-taught with the elder Pastor Yvette. And then she preached. So I said, praise the Lord. I tore up the water machine back there with my chair. And so I just said, thank you. And went back around the corner. Okay. But this time I actually went to a gathering. It's like, oh, my God, is this what they do? You know, so, it was just really wonderful for me as well. And I'm sure everybody that we made get on the schedule for the Wonder, and you had to be down there for 6 hours, and the person that was coming after you didn't wake up, so you got to stay another two, okay? So praise the Lord for you all. Whether you were in the Wonder or the waiting room, you were working, okay? Whether it was before or after. So I told somebody, I said, I like this. I said, we didn't have to go away on Wednesday. We didn't have to go away on Monday, try to find the stuff and pack the stuff and sort the stuff. And yeah, I said, this is nice. This is sweet. I tell you. Sweet, sweet, sweet. So that was my reward, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I am surprised we haven't turned off yet, but I'm glad we haven't. And I pray that everybody will go forth in thanksgiving and in praise and in gratitude. I played the song at the beginning of Every Mountain by Kurt Carr. I love the sentiment of that song. And that started my worship this morning. But we are going forth into a holy season, an Advent season. So our hearts need to prepare. It needs to prepare so that as we honor and celebrate Jesus Christ, we do it on a level we've never done before, that we can see. Because first of all, his coming back is closer now than it's ever been before. And people are looking for him now more than they ever have before because of the situations and circumstances that are all around us, all over the world. And so this is a time where the saints can really rejoice, and it's more than a rejoicing. They can really worship. We will worship this holy season because we honor the God of glory. And the Lord gave me something last night. I actually was up to like 4:30 this morning writing it, and it was so much fun, and it was just so powerful. I said, oh, God, I like this. But anyway, it will be in your brown bag.
Ooh, the scribe anointing.
Apparently, it came this morning. But,
put it in the air.
I thank God
put it
for
in the air.
You're right. There you go. That's what I say. When we decree and declare it, it will come to pass.
Hallelujah.
And such a joy. It was such a joy. But at any rate, so we do praise God. And we just want to always
be aware of the season we're in spiritually, the season. And we're in a high spiritual activity season. There's a lot of activity in the spirit realm. And so we thank God for that, and we thank God that he lets us be a part of it. That is an honor and a privilege, a humble privilege. And so I thank you all, and I pray God's joy will explode in you and in your life. That fire will just burn out of control. Yes, Lord. And you will run hard after his face. And love you guys, and hope to see you in worship on Sunday in the parking lot. Amen. Anybody who's made a commitment for homeless contributions are due this Sunday, and we're going to prepare to get together and pack the bags and give them to the homeless people. So God bless you. Love you, love you, love you. If there be
love
nothing
you.
Else, yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good
weekend. Enjoy. You too. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye.